This is a warning. The following material is protected by copyright. It is strictly prohibited to copy, alter, edit, distribute, or resell the following pirate video.
In cooperation with the people who stole you, E.T., and half of the Return of the Jedi, Pirate Vision proudly presents Son of Cliché, the Radio Nasty.
Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilton, music by Pete Rue.
Welcome to the wonderful world of Pirate Vision, the best in home entertainment for crackly sound and fuzzy pictures. We now present a roundup of our latest films, stolen especially for your enjoyment. The return of the man who kills lots of Chinese people. See Bruce chop, kick, maim, smash, and splatter his way through 130 rather nice Oriental people.
I have played for many years in the temple of Lai Tai and the soul of Wang Dao. At last, I have perfected the technique of speaking when my mouth has finished moving. It is called Zen and the Art of Bad Dubbing.
Bruce Lee burst through your video screens in Hands of Death and rather unpleasant feet as well.
Dash Gore's Flirt Videos proudly present The Living Dead.
Hi. My name's Ronnie Reagan. I understand you're having problems right now in England with CND. These poor, well-intentioned, naive people who believe that nuclear war would be a bad thing. Nuclear war is only a bad thing if, to coin a phrase of the moment, you have a downer on death. You people must not be afraid because your future is in my hands. I know my hands. No, I know. Allegations I know have been made that I am senile, incompetent, and unfit for office. But as President of the United States of America, I represent these leaks. I resent these leaks. I also know I've been accused in the past of rambling, but I've never had a crocodile. And that's why I went to dinner to Denver. And what about the dual key? Dual key. Under no circumstances would we ever fire one of our missiles that is on British soil. They are there purely and simply to divert Soviet bombs away from us. Good night. Frank, I'm parched. Give me some more of that embalming fluid, would you?
Pirate Vision, the best in senselessly violent home entertainment. Something for everyone with pirate videos. All our films are clearly color-coded. Red for blood and horror. Green for blood and horror. Yellow for blood and horror. Orange for education, the arts, documentaries, and blood and horror. And latest on the orange label, in our Mysterious Planet series, the absolutely bleeding incredible world of Clark von Dungleberry.
There are many things that men are hard put to explain. How was a pyramid built? What is that panty girdle doing in the back seat of your car? The Bermuda Triangle. Why is it that so many writers have mysteriously made so much money from this small stretch of ocean? What was the mysterious cigar-shaped object spotted outside Winston Churchill's mouth? Was God an astronaut? And if so, did he have a crew cut? Amazing? more than amazing. Bleeding incredible.
Yes?
I'd like to return my video.
Mutilation of the deranged psycho lepers. Like
not,
it?
Well, not really my cup of tea.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Two decapitations, three garrottings, one axing, two pushed into a meat mincer, one sawn in half, two stranglings, seven in an acid bath, one eaten by rats, two impalings, nine meat cleaverings, and six people chopped up. It's a bit tame, isn't it?
Not really my thing, I'm afraid.
No, I know what you mean, know what you mean. Not really enough sex in there, is there? How about this one?
Dirty Carol's bottom and all her other bits.
Yeah, very good. Two orgies, one hanging, two mud wrestlings, four tortures, three rapes, eight whippings.
No. Again, not really for me. Have you got anything a bit more tasteful?
Tasteful? What, you mean cannibals?
No, I mean tasteful.
What, like, taste the blood of the virgin zombies? Taste the tarnier gets ripped to shreds by the living dead, that sort of style?
Have you got anything romantic?
Well, we've got the way we were before we got our guts ripped out by the horns of Satan.
How about brief encounter?
I got that, yes. Brief encounter with the man with the dripping flesh.
In what way is that romantic?
Archetypal weepy, isn't it? Boy meets girl, boy mutilates girl, boy gets eaten alive by the man with the dripping flesh.
But how is that a weepy?
Well, it upset him.
Look. Here, look, you. I want a proper film, you see, with a proper story. No sex and no mutilation.
Oh, I'm with you. Oh, yes, all right. All right, no one's about. Pop through the back room. Charlie will fix you up. Charlie, got a pervert here. Give him the railway children, will you?
Also, on the orange label, for education, learning, and knowledge, Great Art Treasures of Civilization, presented by Professor Ernest Pilbury Graham, head of Philistine Studies at Keele University.
I'm looking at the earliest known example of human art. These cave paintings, which date back, ages. And if you like, the men responsible for this work were the very first interior decorators. Carbon dating bears this out, showing that they were called out initially in the Stone Age, didn't turn up to do it till the Iron Age, and finally finished the work last Monday. Let's examine these paintings. Look at the perspective. There is none. There's not shadows. No light source. Is that a boar? What's this here? Is this a man? This is cack. Why is he floating in midair? I wouldn't hang this in my toilet. This is even worse than that Egyptian cat. Why didn't they paint a nice still life? This could be done by a 7-year-old child or a graduate at Slade Art College. It's terrible. I hope this man got eaten by something. I bet even the Stone Age people thought this guy was cack. That's probably why they changed their name to the Iron Age people. To get away from this guy. Why else did they change their name? What were they going to do? Go into showbiz?
Welcome to the Guildhall, London, for this glittering gala occasion, the 1983 British Academy of Pirate Video Awards. This show is being broadcast live to 7 nations, and it will be sold illegally to a further 14. Top pirate video thieves have come from all over the world to gather here to steal the cutlery and purloin one of the coveted nicks, which is a statuette which looks remarkably like the Oscar. Without further ado, I'll hand you over to your host for the evening, Dirty Vic.
Thank you, ladies and gents. Thank you, Squire. Thank you, Royal Artist Lookalike. Here are the nominees in the category Best Next Film. Bob Bentley for most deafening hiss in the film Ex-Nam Veteran Goes Berserk and Kills Everybody. Bill Butcher for Best Supporting Crackle in a Soundtrack in the film Ex-Nam Veteran Goes Berserk and Kills Everybody Else. And Charlie Johnson for the most fuzziest picture in a dirty movie in the film Ex-Nam Veteran Goes Berserk and Kills Himself by Mistake. And the winner, I'll just get it out of my pocket. Hey, Somebody hit the envelope.
And now, the wonderful world of Pirate Vision, the best in nicked entertainment, proudly presents the stolen envelope.
And the winner is... I'm just opening it now. Ah, somebody's nicked the card.
Pirate Vision, in cooperation with Hot Videos, proudly presents The Joke That Went On Too Long.
And the winner is famous Vegas singer Jack Openshut.
Say, Jack, can you spare a minute?
Yeah, hang on a minute. I'm busy, Hank. I'm on the phone.
I've just finished the new song, Jack. I think it's pretty good. I think it might be a big hit.
Okay, yeah. I'll hear it in a minute, Hank. I'm just trying to make a phone call here.
I think you should hear it now, Jack. I think it'll be the biggest hit you ever had.
Jeez. Listen, I'll call you back, honey. Hmm? Keep it warm. Yeah, me too, baby. I love me too. Hey! You hear that joke there, Hank? I love me too. You hear that joke? Some swell joke.
Good joke, Jack. Great joke. Yeah.
You know, I have 18 writers, Hank. 18 writers. Just to write me jokes I can use on the dates.
Yeah, I know, Jack. I know.
18 guys, Hank. 18 guys full time. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think you should hear my song, Jack.
Okay, Hank. Give me the music. Give me the words.
If you don't mind, Jack, could you read it over my shoulder? This is the only copy.
Yeah, sure. Take it from the top, Mr. Piano Player. For many years, I tried to say that we don't get along. I never could say it to your face, so I put it in a song. Hey, nice intro, man. Nice intro. A piano player, all I am, while you're the household name. I write your hits, arrange them all, while you get the acclaim. Not sure, man. You said you share success with me, but what you really meant was you grab the glory and all the girls, and I'd get 5%.
It's a good word. Chorus coming up, Jack. Chorus coming up.
Oh, Jack, I stabbed you in the back. Just yesterday, I had your wife and daughter in the sack. Hey, it's a great song. I love this song. Those papers I asked you to sign, you signed unwittingly. Now I own your recording rights and all your property. Hey, you really feel for this guy. I sold your sordid story to a national magazine. I mentioned the drugs, the mafia, that sheep and Vaseline. Hey, great song.
Chorus again, Jack. Chorus again.
Oh, Jack, you won't be coming back. The coup de grace was cyanide in your mid-morning snack.
Hang on, Jack. It's yes. Coup de grace.
I know. One of my writers was French. Yeah, coup de grace. The coup de grace was cyanide in your mid-morning snack.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that last chorus there, Hank.
Are you okay, Jack? You look a little wobbly on your feet.
Listen, I got an idea to change that last chorus. Play it. Oh, Hank, you've got yourself to thank. I swapped the cups round and it was the poisoned one you drank. I think that's better.
Oh, right, Jack.
What do you think?
See what you think of this, okay?
Okay.
For heaven's sake, we both made a big mistake. I may have drunk the poison tea, but you ate the chocolate cake.
Well, Hank, looks like it's the end of the road, old buddy. Still, look on the bright side. It's my funeral that's going to get all the press coverage. You know something, Hank? I got 25 writers working on my obituary. 25 writers in prep. Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
Coming your way, something extremely offensive. But now...
Pirate Vision, without the collaboration of Quick Martin, presents Quimby, Police Vet.
It started off
one morning when I was removing a stomach tumor from a butchery car. One thing led to another, and the next thing I knew, I'd solved the Matheson murder case. I called all the suspects together, as I do every week. I could never understand why the murderer always turns up.
What are we doing here, Quimby?
What do you want with us?
Yeah, just let me finish shearing the sheep, and I'll be right with you. Okay, gentlemen, I called you here to my surgery this evening because I know the identity of Matheson's killer.
What?
Who is it?
And that person or persons, he or she or they, is or are sitting or standing in this very room or rooms.
Are you saying it's one of us?
Hey, wait a minute now. Me and Matheson were buddies.
It was the motive that fucked me. Then it came to me while I was cutting a Jackson's tail off. The murderer or murderers, he or she or they or it or them, killed Matheson because they wanted him dead.
Is this all we get?
Short sentences to break up his speech?
Sure looks like it.
The vital clue was a bicycle track outside Matheson's window.
That's crazy.
You're out of your mind, Quimby.
Kowalski! Catch! Why didn't you catch that, Kowalski?
Because I haven't got any arms, Quimby. Not since you asked me to feed your lion.
That brings us to you, Dr. Henderson. On the morning of the murder, didn't you have a so-called shooting accident while you were cleaning your gun?
Well, I had a shooting accident when I was cleaning my gun, if that's what you mean.
How many bullets were in that gun?
Two.
And how many shots were fired in the so-called accident?
Two.
Leaving how many bullets in that gun with which to cold-bloodedly gun down in broad daylight the poor, lonely, despised Matheson?
None.
You're right, Quimby. Two from two is none.
Besides, Matheson was stabbed.
Not necessarily. I believe he was shot. Shot to death. The bullets removed, the wounds in the deceased left the heel, whereupon the body was systematically knifed to make it look to all the world like a stabbing.
Who on earth would do that?
It came to me while I was performing a hysterectomy on a lemming. I asked myself, who was the person with the most to gain from Matheson's death?
Who?
There I was, waxing a baboon's legs, and it hit me. None other than Matheson himself.
What?
Who?
These sentences are getting shorter.
I believe, gentlemen, he shot himself in the head, dragged his body, still warm, to the ballpark, removed the bullet, stabbed himself 57 times, strolled casually over to the changing room, and hid his body in a locker in an effort to make the greatest ever teaser at the top of this show.
That's brilliant.
You're a genius.
Top up. Going up, Matheson. We're taking him in.
What about the lamb, Quimby?
You better let him go.
Don't forget, coming shortly, that particularly offensive item. Right after this.
Pirate video kings go legal. Men who made their fortunes from illegal copying have plowed the money back into the industry by making their own original film. Unfortunately, the movie was stolen today by George Lucas.
And now, as promised, that particularly offensive item. Listeners are warned that they may find what follows incredibly offensive indeed. And for the benefit of people who don't want to be offended, the item is to be placed between two tones, signifying the beginning and the end of this very offensive item. So if you feel you may be offended, wait for the second tone. And here it is, this very, very offensive item.
In the mousetrap, the detective did it. In Murder on the Orient Express, they all did it. In Death on the Nile, Mia Farrow and Simon McCorkadale, who shot himself in the leg to delude Poirot, did it.
Welcome back, all you people who didn't want to hear the detective did it in the mousetrap. They all did it in the Orient Express. Farrow, McCorkadale did it in Death on the Nile, and Jerome Power really did do it in Witness to the Prosecution.
Now available from Pirate Vision, some films that are nearly finished, including...
My name's Bond. James Bond. And I'm back. In Kill Pussy Pussy Kill Kill Pussy Kill Pussy Pussy Kill Kill Pussy Kill Pussy Pussy Kill Pussy Pussy. That's not the title, it's the plot.
Pirate Vision presents McCulloch.
Tonight, the story of Jimmy the Stoat McCulloch, former Glasgow gangster turned supergrass. As a result of his evidence, 12 men don't like him at all. Jimmy was always a misfit. He never got on with people. His brother, Jackie.
Well, Jimmy was always a misfit. He never got on with people.
Jimmy, the slimy rodent McCulloch, was born in the Gorval section of Glasgow in 1953. His father was an unemployed wrestler, and his mother was too. From an early age, Jimmy showed violent tendencies. He once tried to choke a doctor to death with his own umbilical cord. By the age of 16, he knew exactly what he wanted from life. His ambition was to be a feared and ruthless gangland leader, make money through violence and extortion, then get arrested, sent to prison, get beaten up by warders, then have his life story made into a film starring Roger Daltrey. Sadly, this was not to be. In 1971, aged 18, Jimmy, the mad bastard McCulloch, met a man he was destined never to meet again. But later that year, Jimmy robbed his first post office, killing 4 people and hospitalizing 2 others on the bus on the way to the post office. In the raid, he killed a further 8 people and assaulted 3 more. One of the survivors was Graham Bell.
That was disgusting. There was no other word for it. Disgusting. I was about 7 or 8 back in the queue, and McCulloch came in with his shotgun and pushed it straight in front of me. I said, "Do you mind? Do you mind? There's a queue here. I've been waiting 20 minutes to catch this gyro."
What about the killings?
I say, "If you want to push in, push in the other queue." I said, "Go back to the back." Who do you think he is?
Yes, but what about the killings?
Aye, the killings, aye. Well, then he killed 8 people. I was livid. I mean, I've been waiting 20 minutes and he just pushed straight in. At least it moved me up the queue a bit.
After the killing, Jimmy Doggy Breath McCulloch was a wanted man. There were several on-the-spot witnesses who'd seen him shooting the people in the post office and then leaving with the money, although the police had yet to connect the two. Meanwhile, Jimmy, the never-puts-his-dirty-socks-in-the-laundry-basket McCulloch, was living in London, where he and 12 other men planned to pull off the biggest heist in the history of the city. They were going to lift Norman Tebbit's wallet. But something went wrong. They got the wallet, but all 13 of them had sustained a hernia carrying it to the getaway van. The others escaped. McCulloch was captured. Jimmy, the squeeze the top of the toothpaste McCulloch, was in trouble. He turned Queen's evidence and became a supergrass, with police reassurances that he'd be given a new identity and a new life. Sadly for Jimmy, the new identity was that of a caterpillar. After 36 hours of intensive plastic surgery, McCulloch was reduced to 1.5 inches long, with green and black stripes. Shortly after, he moved to a tobacco tin with holes in, somewhere in Lancashire, confident at last he would be free from underworld reprisals. 2 days later, he was eaten by a cat.
Speaking Pseudo-Intellectual, a short series of lectures which will enable the listener to impress associates by sounding erudite and informed without actually knowing what the hell they're talking about. Today, vocabulary. Here are some words, phrases, and intellectual names to drop with their corresponding pseudo-intellectual definition.
Max Weber.
A piece of wood used for killing chickens.
Minimalism.
What a badger does shortly after crouching.
Polymorphism.
The sensation a woman experiences walking past a building site.
Here, pass us a plumb line, Harry.
I've already done that, Gerda, son. Leave it alone.
Look at that thing there. Look at that body on that.
Get it back.
Hang on. That's not a bird. That's Cossa pushing a wheelbarrow.
Is it? Like, why are we whistling at Cossa pushing a wheelbarrow?
Well, it could have been a bird. We're so high up here, you can't be sure.
Yeah. Well, a wheelbarrow doesn't look like a bird even from 300 feet.
Listen, son, the rule is simple. If you see something moving down there, you whistle at it. You've not been with us long and it takes years to learn the ins and outs of the building trade. But there's a couple of points I can put you right on. For a start, you don't come to work dressed like that.
But I'm dressed like you.
Nah, you've got your jeans round your waist. We wear hipsters. You've got to show the elastic bit of your underpants. And at least At least 1.5 inches of bottom cleavage.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I don't know what you come in there. You ought to read your contract of employment, son.
Whoa! Look at that thing.
Get
on! Get
on!
Get on!
Hang on a minute, lad.
What?
That's my mum.
What?
I've just been shouting, get them off to my mum.
Well, you don't mind if we give her a bit of wrist, do you?
What? I don't see what your problem is. She's begging for it, isn't she?
Yeah, just look at the way she's wearing that shawl.
She always wears that shawl.
Well, there you go. If you don't want to turn blokes on, you shouldn't wear a provocative shawl like that, should you? Should you?
No, I suppose not.
What?
Go on, Mrs. Jennifer! Get off, Mum! Go on, Mum!
You have been listening to Sam Batiche, the Radio Nasty, featuring Christopher Barrett as the man with melted face, Nick Maloney as the thing that looks like a demented sheet kebab that comes out of the plug hole in the bath, and Nick Wilton as the disgusting blobby thing that makes funny squelchy noises. The show was written in a lonely farmhouse by evil spirits possessing the bodies of Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, with music by Peter Chainsaw Brewis and the Son of Cliche Psycho Band, and produced by Alan Nixon as himself.
Well, that's it from Son of Cliche until next week. I just want to take a minute to talk about something quite seriously, and that's sexual harassment at work. We've all heard of it. We all know what it is. And I can't tell you just how fiercely I'm against it. Awful. To treat another person as if they're just a sexual object. And I know what I'm talking about, because I get a lot of it here on Son of Cliche. Not from the cast. They're fine. It's one of the continuity announcers. I just hope it's not them doing the next link, because I'm sick of it. It's a joke at first, goosing me and rubbing past me, patting my bottom when I'm tying my shoe. But, you know, it just gets so you dread the end of the show. Anyway, the door's opening. It must be the continuity announcer. Oh, no. Look, just leave me alone, will you? Leave me alone, please. Get off. Keep your hands to yourself. Oh, don't do that. Oh, God, that's wet and horrible. Just keep your big fat lips to yourself. Get off. Stop groping me. Oh, don't blow in my ear. That's disgusting. Your tongue's all wet. Just do the link. Go on.